Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day in the pickle bar. Led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And, of course, open right now. So stock up for the weekend. Stock up indeed. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The service department, by the way, open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I want to point out, you can do your vehicle shopping at Sunbury Motors online at sunburymotors.com. You can go online and check out the great inventory of Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, and their pre-owned inventory, which is outstanding. Check it out, find out what you really like, and you can do the entire buying process from the comfort of your own home with the great people at Sunbury Motors and sunburymotors.com. On this, the 50th anniversary of the New York Knicks winning their first of two NBA championships, the night that Willis Reed, injured, walks through the tunnel at Madison Square Garden, shocks the masses, then scores the first two baskets of the game, and the Knicks beat the Lakers. By the way, those are also the only two baskets that Willis Reed scored that night. And the 50th anniversary of Bobby Orr soaring through the air after the Stanley Cup game-winning goal, Stanley Cup series-winning goal, the golden goal, is 50 years Sunday. You've heard many stories about how humble Orr is. Here's one that will add to that. Derek Sanderson tells this story. And look, back in the day, people were like, hey, I'd like tickets. And I think everybody thinks you get your tickets for free. Well, back in these days, you didn't get tickets for free, especially at the Boston Garden, which was sold out all the time, 15,003. So Orr is talking to a group of youngsters. And one of them basically says, you know, what do you do? He says, I play hockey. Oh, you play hockey? You know? And the other kid's like, ah. He said, well, have you ever been to a hockey game? He says, no. He says, no. He says, I'd like to go sometime, though, just to see it. He goes, okay. Now, the couple of parents are standing in the background. And remember, the players, you know, this is the early 70s. The players paid for the tickets. And so he says to him, he says, I'll get you tickets to a game. He says, how many tickets do you want? And the kid stands there for a moment and thinks. He says, 14. 14? Okay, 14. Orr doesn't blink. He says, I'll get you 14 tickets. The Bruins always played on a Saturday. They always played a lot of Saturday afternoon home games. Right? They didn't play at night on Saturdays. They always played Saturday afternoon. So Orr made sure that he got 14 tickets, left them for him. And the father came up. He says, Bobby, don't do this. He says, please. He says, he's kind of put you in a bad spot, the whole deal. We don't want to do that. And he says, no. And this is Derek Sanderson telling the story. He says, no. He says, he left them the 14 tickets. He made sure he left them for a Saturday afternoon game. That way, the youngster was not up late and couldn't go to school the next day. So that's the way it was. And is. Orr's now 72. All right, so the schedule's been released. Matt will now give you complete analysis because he hung on every schedule word last night.
I watched a little bit of the coverage last night, but as far as the Eagles go, I've got 10-6. I got 8-8 for the Steelers.
Even with Ben back?
Even with Ben back, yep.
Why do you have them? I didn't even look at it, so why do you have them at 8-8?
I just don't think overall they're going to be as good as people think, even with Big Ben in there.
They were 8-8 with Duck Hodges.
I just don't think there's a lot offensively yet, still.
Wow.
Overall. And it's a tough schedule for them.
Well. And you have the local club at 10-6.
I do. It's a tough schedule, but I think the Eagles are more talented right now on defense. And that's where they can win some games.
Than the Steelers?
Yes. Up front. Maybe not in the secondary, but I think up front, the Eagles can win some games there. I had the Steelers starting out 3-0.
And then a total collapse.
Basically, yeah. I had them losing to the Titans, and I think they would lose to the Eagles at home. Close game, no. Though.
Of course you do.
Looking at it objectively, I think the Eagles right now win a close game. Then I think they go 0-2 against Baltimore. I think they split with Cleveland. I think they sweep Cincinnati. I have them losing to Dallas on the road. I have them beating Jacksonville on the road. I have them losing to Baltimore on the road. And I have them losing to the Colts as well.
Wow. A lot of hate there. Whew. I wonder if we should start having Luke on the show.
Now, the Eagles, I have them also starting 3-0. Lose to San Francisco on Sunday night at 3-1, week 4. Beating the Steelers, losing to the Ravens, beating the Giants, beating the Cowboys at home, beating the Giants on the road, beating Cleveland on the road.
The Giants will beat them.
If the Eagles are going to lose a game to the Giants, I can see it being on the road. I don't think they lose it to Link. Especially on a Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
But then the big stretch here is really brutal. You got Seattle at home on Monday night, at Green Bay, and then home against New Orleans. I'm not sure if they win a game there. I got them 0-3. I think the most winnable game is the Seattle game, but they haven't been able to beat Seattle the last few years, so they got to prove it to me. And then I only have them going 1-2 in the final three games. I'm sorry, I have them 2-1 in the final three games. I have them beating Arizona, I have them losing to Dallas, and then beating the Redskins. Well, if they don't stay healthy, they're going to be right down the drain.
Wow.
The Cowboys have a favorable schedule, I think, unfortunately.
Jason Luckenforce, CBS, writes of the Steelers. Things set up very nicely for the Steelers to return to the postseason. Ooh. They get to feast on the NFC East. Where the Eagles reside?
I don't know about feast is the right word.
I just am reading what he wrote. The exact words were they get to feast on the NFC East.
They
get
feast on the Giants and Redskins.
The Browns have a rookie head coach, and the Bengals are early in a new regime and have a new quarterback. They get a bye after going to Baltimore in October, and they don't have any West Coast games. Dallas is their longest trip.
That's a fair point. Ravens have the same similar situation, too.
Yeah. He says, slow start for the Falcons. Let's see. Patriots face a bumpy road. Niners set up nicely. Primetime Bills. Brady has sunny days. A big win for Baltimore. And the Eagles are bad. I don't think I would have put that up. No, I'm just kidding. He writes about Baltimore. The Ravens, 14-2 a year ago with a 22-year-old MVP quarterback, can pretty much leave the T-plane in a hangar somewhere. Baltimore doesn't leave the Eastern time zone after week two. I don't see anything longer than a one-hour flight all season after week two to Houston. They end up busing to at least one game, going obviously to Washington or Landover. We're taking a train to at least one road game, Philly, and the toughest out-of-division games are at home, the Chiefs and the Cowboys. Factor in a well-placed bye in all those primetime games, and no one in Owings Mills can be grumbling.
Totally agree.
No offense, I don't think he writes a single word about the Eagles here, except the feast on the NFC East part. You didn't like that.
Well, he's right about the Giants and the Redskins, but the Eagles and Cowboys, they're beatable, but they're not pushovers. The big reason why the NFC East was terrible last year, a big chunk of it was because of the Giants and the Redskins and being how bad they were. Now, granted, the Eagles and Cowboys were inconsistent, but I wouldn't call them pushovers.
And the Eagles have a better front than the Steelers do.
Yeah, they do. Javon Hargrave, Malik Jackson, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, and they got the depth is definitely back. Josh Sweat had a good strong end to the year last year for the Eagles. The concerns are linebacker and secondary. Well, one side of the secondary than the other, I should say, because he picked up Darius Slay, which I think will be a huge help. You still got Ronnie McLeod back there, but strong safety is a major concern without Malcolm Jenkins now. And you got, hopefully, maybe to start off Jalen Mills, and then eventually it'll be kid from Clemson, Kevon, will be there. Kevon Wallace. So, and the other opposite side, Avante Maddox was good last year, but not great. Can he take another step? That's going to be the question mark. Sidney Jones, where does he stand? This is a big camp for him.
Hmm. Wow. Thanksgiving, by the way, features, and believe me, there was some thought put into this. Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, Matthew Stafford, Ben Roethlisberger, and Dwayne Haskins. That's not bad. Thought about that.
Yeah, I will say this. This is probably the best primetime season we'll have in the NFL. I think ESPN has got its best schedule ever. NBC did very well again. Honestly, ever. I mean, look at everything else. I mean, you look at all the matches they had this year. It's pretty. They're pretty good overall. Minus a few duds.
In the 70s and the 80s, they were the primetime game.
Exactly.
So their best.
Oh, ever under ESPN since they've been on ESPN.
All right.
And Sunday night did very well again this year, and Thursday night has a couple has some good matchups too. And those games have been getting better because I think of the way Fox has been able to elevate that coverage.
Yeah. I also noticed that the buys, which were built in weeks 4 and 12, you know, that's the space between weeks 4 and 12 with the buys last year, now between weeks 5 and 11. So they're going to put the buys in between weeks 5 and 11. Hey, by the way, it is Mother's Day this weekend. So to all the moms, grandmothers, stepmoms, caretakers, you get it done every single day. So to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day from us to you, and thank you for what you do every day to make lives everywhere better. And don't forget, nothing screams Mother's Day like, hey, let's watch UFC. Okay, forget it. That's the big sporting event this weekend.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day in the pickle bar, led by the barrels of the dills indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can now buy online at sunburymotors.com. And along the way, you can look at the great inventory of Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, pre-owned inventory, all great. And you can check out what you like. And in the comfort of your own home, you can buy. SunburyMotors.com. Very, very pleased to hear on the other end of the line our good friend, my good friend, Tony Knopp. Tony, welcome back to the show. It is great to hear you. I hope you are doing well. You, your wife, your child, they're all doing well.
Everybody's happy and healthy, my friend. Hope the same for you guys.
Yeah, it is. Yes, so far so good.
Crazy times, we'll check every day, right?
Yeah, crazy. It is crazy times, and obviously it's crazy times, especially in your industry, every industry across the board.
Absolutely.
So what has been the effect for you? And then we'll get into some of the specifics for what other people are dealing with.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's been significant on the sports and entertainment side. It's, we get asked every day when we think that we're going to come back and what our ideas are. And, you know, we're involved in all of those meetings and discussions with the teams, the leagues, and the sponsors. And the reality is people just don't know. And so, you know, we're seeing a lot of different approaches to what's happening out there. A lot of people who were pretty overly stretched out with debt are really, really hurting, and I think in a lot worse shape than they'd like to let on. And, you know, for the listeners out there, you know, behind a lot of these large events, there's generally a very large business that's, you know, a multi-billion dollar market cap company, whether that's an Endeavor who owns all of the rights to the UFC, or they also own all of the rights to all the hospitality and much of the ticketing for the Super Bowl. So that company has had, you know, 30% of their staff laid off. They're laying off a bunch more. They've got a lot of debt. You know, Live Nation has a lot of debt on them. They own Ticketmaster. StubHub, some people won't even believe, has gone from 3,000 employees down to 150. So there's been significant changes in our market. We've been relatively strong as a business. We're, you know, mostly a software company, and that continues to hold up. Right. So we've been taken care of, which has been a blessing that's not lost on us. And I think everybody's just really focused on what's going to happen, you know, when events do come back and how they come back across the board. And so that's the conversation du jour right now, is how are we going to handle this? What does that look like? And what do we think is going to happen there?
All right. So let's get to a couple of specifics for a moment. We're in this position right now where, you know, somebody may survive, but in a different form. Somebody might not survive. There's some people saying right. that today maybe the Canadian Football League doesn't survive, for example.
Right.
I want to talk about MLS first. They have brilliantly marketed to ages 18 to 34, as we've talked about. But they're not the big profit machine. So nope. where are they in all of this?
The MLS, so the leagues that are the most interesting in this are the MLS, the NHL, and Major League Baseball, because they're the most reliant on ticketing revenue, right? Yep. NFL is only 18% reliant on ticketed revenue. So if they can get back, they can put some people in the suites, they can have 20,000 people in the building, they can show their games. They're not going to be in a situation where they're hurting so bad. And a lot of times what we're hearing is, well, you know, the players aren't going to want to come back unless they get their whole cut. I think they're more realistic than that. We've spoken to a few of them. We deal with a lot of the agencies. They know that they've got to keep things afloat, right? This is no longer a case of how fast are we growing. This is a case of, you know, the example we've generally used and how these sports leagues are looking at each other is like that day you were in class and they introduced the curve. And it was no longer about getting a 98 out of 100. If you got a 54, but the curve was 52, you're in pretty good shape. Yeah. And that's how a lot of these leagues are looking at it. Now, the problem is you have some leagues that are really hampered by this. And the NHL, Major League Soccer, and Major League Baseball are incredibly reliant on ticketing revenue. So I think we're going to see them push the envelope and come back. The LAFC down the street here opened their training facility already. Yeah. So Major League Soccer, the other problem Major League Soccer has is there's a lot of debt on these teams and on these buildings. So a lot of times what they do, you know, people think that billionaires just have billions of dollars sitting in a bank account. They don't.
Right.
What they do is they borrow against the assets that they have. And those assets, you know, to make it really simple for people, like Tillman Fertitta, who owns the Houston Rockets, he made his money in restaurants. And so now he's out trying to raise money against his restaurants, and he may at one point have to use the Houston Rockets as collateral to do this. So I think what people don't realize is what you've said already is that there are things that we've taken for granted as just normal part of our lives, businesses that are not going to make it through this. They're not going to exist.
Well, Tony, there's another part to this too. I think if there's one element that's been exposed in this above all, which is something you and I have talked about and you and I have always known, so this is not going to be a foreign conversation for you and me. But I think now people are finding out the slim margins with which these businesses operate. Yes, the owner does well, but when the margin gets cut, they don't have a money tree in the back and they can't take care of it because the margin was actually exponentially thinner than people realized.
It is, and when you're in a situation when you don't have leverage because you have a large TV deal that cuts you in across the board, yep. and you're trying to grow a league. What people probably don't understand when they look at businesses that are growing is growth is taking the revenue that you have and pumping it into getting more. So you're leveraged. They call that leverage. So you have, you know, a lot of debt out there on your business as you're starting to grow it. But the minute those revenue streams dry up, people start calling on the debt. And many of these owners have other businesses, right, that they made their billions on in the first place.
Right.
And those are running into debt issues, too. And those are running into debt calls, too. And, you know, the thing that we're hearing the most, which is the most frightening to me, I kind of have two thoughts on this that frighten me going forward. One, a lot of businesses out there right now are looking at their P&Ls, their profit and loss statements, the same way you and I are looking at our credit card bills for the last 60 days and thinking, right. maybe some of that stuff I don't need to bring back. I didn't realize I could get it this far down. And that hurts the entire process, the entire economy across the board, right? And I think that that's what's happening with some of these teams and leagues and how they're looking at what happens next, right? Can we afford this? Are we going to be able to afford this? And going forward, do we even want to afford this? So that's a big concern. The bigger concern in talking to all the corporate sponsors that we talk with, and we had roundtables with our corporate partners 2 weeks ago. We had 150 executives from different companies over 5 days. And the overwhelming response was, we want to be good partners, and we believe that the teams and the leagues are going to do us right. But you and I both know that everybody's definition of right is very different. And so once those conversations start to happen, unfortunately, you sink to the lowest common denominator, and that's usually a contract. And so I'm really not bullish on what happens when we come back. And Steve, we're going to come back a lot faster than people think we're coming back.
I agree.
Whether that's right or wrong, there's too much money at risk. We've been talking to the NFL teams for the last day. Their sales yesterday for most of the teams were pretty robust, right? There's going to be a market for this. And what happens when they come back and say, okay, we're back. We've got a stadium that fits 60,000 people. We're only going to let 30,000 in. But by the way, we sold all 30,000 of them. And Company X, here are your tickets. And Company X comes back and says, well, we don't want to send anybody right now.
Right?
Because what you and I both know, what's going to happen is people say, well, you don't want to be liable, right? You don't want to be that company that sent Steve Jones and Steve Jones gets COVID-19. But that indemnity already exists. When you buy a ticket to a Penn State football game, if you had gone last year and gotten pneumonia and got really sick, you can't sue Penn State. That indemnity is already part of the transaction.
Right. All right, so you meant the college game going to Penn State. Mm-hmm. Oregon's governor, she said that no large gatherings until October 1st. Now,
incredibly stupid. It's an incredibly stupid thing to say, but I shouldn't say that because I don't talk politics. But
yeah,
there's no reason to rush to be first if you're going to end up being wrong there.
Let me give you a saying that I've used on this show many times, and people know it. You don't make a decision until you have to make the decision.
Exactly.
That's to me what good decision making is. That aside, what does that do? Because that's Oregon and Oregon State. Now, Arizona's in a different boat. We know what Washington's gone through, and you're in California. Mm-hmm. So, what does this do for the Pac-12?
Well, here's what's going to be the most interesting part of all of this. Number one, if you're Ohio State now, and you're supposed to be going to Eugene September 12th,
yes.
You're immediately on the phone saying, are we playing this game in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Or are we not playing this game? Because I think people oversimplify back to the statement we already made. People ask me all the time, when do you think sporting events are going to come back? And I say, they're going to come back very soon. And especially people in the Northeast get very angry with me when I say that. I said, look, I didn't say whether I thought that was right or wrong. And they say, you're optimistic. No, that's not optimism that drives that decision. It's my pessimism that drives that decision. There's too much money at risk. Capitalism will drive people to make that decision. And people are saying, well, you know, in a home and home, like what Ohio State and Oregon are doing, you keep the revenue for yourself. If you're Ohio State, you know that 2021, is very likely going to be a far more lucrative game than 2020. We have no idea what's going to happen in 2020. Are you trading with Oregon? No way. Right, you're not doing that. So you're going to suggest
very quickly for everybody. Everybody hears about guarantees. Those guarantees are for the group of five teams. When you play another Power Five team, it's structured so you take care of expenses, and then the home team keeps revenue.
Right. So it's I'm going to take all the money for this game. You're going to take all the money for next game, and that's it. And so Ohio State, no way they're going to agree to that. So are they going to talk about playing somewhere else? Now, here's the frightening thing about all this is this is going to come down to politics. And the unfortunate thing for the Pac-12 is that blue states are going to be last to this. There's a number of reasons they're going to do it. We don't need to talk politics on the show, but this is an opportunity for that. And New York and California are going to be last. So most of the superpower football teams reside in red states, and they're going to play. And the neighboring red states are going to be open for business. So what happens when Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, comes out and says no large events in California until October, and then Arizona and Nevada say, hey, Rams, you want to play your home games out here? Come on out. We got a brand new stadium in Las Vegas. We got a state-of-the-art stadium in Phoenix. Unfortunately, those decisions are going to come to a head, and it's going to get really ugly. And the two conferences that are going to get hit the hardest on this are the Big East and the Pac-12. The Big East and the Pac-12 are going to get crushed because they're already forgotten about conferences that aren't doing very well, and it's going to get worse this year.
Which then brings up this part. The Big Ten has 14 schools, but located in 11 states. Mm-hmm. The SEC has 14 schools located in 11 states. Nebraska is different than New Jersey, Rutgers.
Very different.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what is the thought process of, all right, we're going to move forward, even though not everybody might be able to move forward?
It's the reality is, I mean, your coach talked about it, I believe it was yesterday or the day before.
He did.
Said, look,
he did.
We're going to move forward, whether everybody's on board or not. And the reality is there's going to be really – this goes exactly back to the statement that we made earlier, right? Everybody's in it together until they're not, right? And everybody believes in doing what's right until they realize that everybody's definition of what's right is very different.
Tony, can I make one quick?
Have to sit down. Go ahead.
Can I make one quick point though about going in together? If you don't play, you still get the TV and bowl money because that's the structure. So actually, you are still going forward together, but you just aren't playing.
You start playing, and you lose your ticketing revenue and all that, and that's all fine. And so I think the conferences are going to look at it as, again, this is about survival. I think they play, and I think if the universities decide not to be a part of that, then they don't play. And it gets, you know, they've been talking about reorganization of the league in Major League Baseball for the last couple of weeks, how they're talking about making it more local now. And you're going to have three leagues of 10. And so you're going to have, you know, the Oakland A's and San Francisco Giants are going to be in the same division. You know, the Phillies and the Pirates are going to be, you know, all the same things. So you're all going to play against each other regularly because you're close. You know, Detroit's no longer going to be American League. They're going to play against, you know, the Pirates. So that could be a solution, and that's where the mega conferences are going to have a lot better opportunity because, you know, the Big Ten has enough teams to do this. The SEC has enough teams to do this. The Pac-12 has enough teams to do this. The Big Eight, you know, they're low on quality teams. There's going to be a bigger change. So I think, you know, like we've said before, people have asked me regularly, do we think there's going to be football in the fall? I do. We were on a closed invitation-only conference call with the NCAA. They had a doctor on there who's an epidemiologist that was not tied to the NCAA, who was very openly saying, you know, behind closed doors, I believe we're playing with fans in September because 4 to 5 months is an eternity in order to how we figure these things out. And I think you and I both know there's too much money on the line that this is going to happen and they're going to play.
Right. Which is, you know, that's really interesting that they said that. Obviously, UFC's this weekend. You got racing starting at, I think, Darlington next weekend. Then IndyCar comes back June 6th.
Charles Schwab.
The Schwab is June 11th. Okay, now those, that's different. How important is it for everybody? I'm going to guess that Major League Baseball is going to be the first to have an established league get going and be okay when they are going. Because in Germany, they're starting up soccer again.
Yeah, they started the Bundesliga. It's, you know, the thing about it that gets lost in a lot of these conversations when you talk about South Korea is playing baseball, or Germany is playing soccer, or Sweden's doing what Sweden's doing. Geographically, those places are significantly, I mean, by a factor of multitudes, smaller than the United States, geographically, right? So when they talk about a hotspot here and a hotspot there, there's not as much differentiation as there is when you're talking about North America.
That's
and
right.
So, right, when you travel from Munich to Frankfurt, it's a four-hour drive, right? That's not even going from Los Angeles to San Francisco.
Exactly.
And it's just a smaller place. So I'm not sure that their success internationally is going to drive anything that we're doing here. I think what we are going to see here, USC is going to trailblaze it, and I think baseball is going to follow with. We're going to play in places that are not necessarily hot zones, and then we're going to figure it out from there. And I don't know whether that's the right decision or not. Like, I believe they're going to play. Do I believe they're going to play and pull it off and not get shut back down? I have no idea. But I think Major League Baseball being outdoors, easier to socially distance within the stands. Your listeners may not know this, but it may sound crazy to them. There is a live concert on the 15th of this month, 1 week from today, in Arkansas, in a building indoors, which is set up for 6,000 people that's going to have 300 attendees. And they set up, they released the seating chart. They showed how everybody separated, how there's three rows in between everybody. There's no aisle seats. That's the direction we're going. I think baseball, like you said, is first. And if they have success, then I think we're going to see what Jim Nantz said on Real Sports, this golden age of sports where we're going to have, I mean, Steve, we're going to have a situation where we're going to have the U.S. Open of tennis, the U.S. Open of golf, the Kentucky Derby, the Indy 500, the basketball playoffs, baseball moving towards the playoffs, the NFL kickoff, and college football within a seven-week period of each other.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
Yeah, and the Masters in November.
The Masters in November to tie a bow in all of it. And what they're talking about is if the U.S. Open of tennis doesn't go off in New York, they're going to play it here in Indian Wells in November. That's the contingency
plan. I heard that.
It's a stadium of 17,000 people.
This is, obviously, it's unprecedented. Despite what everybody thinks, I did not live through the Spanish flu 102 years ago. I'm not that old. Tony can attest. Tony can attest I'm not that old.
That's funny. I think when we look at that, though, you know, even there, I'll make that point, which people get angry about sometimes, but they play college football in 1918. And a lot of people say, you know, look, you know, that was 100 years ago. A lot has changed. And a lot has changed 100 years ago. But 100 years ago, we were not monkeys rubbing stones together. We had discovered, you know, Newtonian theory. We had combustible engines. We had, you know, people were intelligent at that point. They had the ability to think cognitively. And so history generally does repeat itself. And I just think there's going to be too much demand for this. And eventually it's going to become a shootout between blue governors and red governors, and the states are going to be caught in the middle.
And maybe the sports will be caught in the middle.
Absolutely.
One quick side personal note. As somebody who's rebuilding his phone inventory because my phone died 3 months ago, you stole my cell number, right?
I do.
Right. Could you do me a favor and send me a text? That way I've got your number.
I will do that.
Because if you're wondering why I haven't texted you to say, hey, you doing okay? That's the reason.
No, so I appreciate that. We're doing great, and that is not lost on us. There's a lot of people that are really, really hurting. We're doing the best we can to keep ourselves going, and then to help people that need it. Because this is, like I said, it's unprecedented, and I think it's going to get bad. I'm not sure it's going to bounce back as fast as people think.
Right. No, but shoot me a text. That way, I've got it. And then the other one, final question that deals with the construction at SoFi. Is it on track to be done?
Yes. Yeah, they're on track to be done. They had two cases a month ago that they isolated and didn't spread. They've taken individual ticket sales. They started taking individual game ticket sales yesterday, and those did very well. It's one of the teams we talked to. So, I mean, even in a state where some people don't believe they're going to have live events, tickets are selling. They plan on having that one done, and they plan on having Allegiant done, and that's a lot of the conversation. You know, when we found out about the Oregon-Ohio State thing, the first thing that came to mind was they're going to play that game in Las Vegas. At Allegiant Stadium. Or they'll go play it at Jerry World in Texas.
Well, in terms of social distancing, the Chargers are built for this. All right, so...
right. That's good.
Tony, my good friend, great, great to hear you. We will talk soon.
Absolutely. All right, brother. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks. Tony Knopp. We will come back with more in a moment, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.